From the Lynn DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of December 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You might recall that a few weeks ago, he was talking about the potential for some dryness to develop in Brazil. That didn't happen, and there's always some thought about problems as it relates to La Nina in Argentina. We'll check in with him on that, though it appears that may not be in the works either, and then we'll ask him about other places across the planet and what Santa Claus might find next week as he travels, makes some stops at children's homes across the globe and here in the United States. Along the way today, we'll also take up what the U.S. Congress has been working on over the last week or so as it's related to a continuing resolution that includes disaster aid packages for farmers and what those payments might look like. Jonathan Compass will be here. I'm traveling with him this week on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, and we'll do all of that right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand. Anytime you'd like to check it out at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Greg Johnson now joins us from TotalGrainMarketing.com. He's at the elevator in Champaign. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us today. Not the best of days, or the best of weeks, actually, particularly for the soybean market. Things really folded over today. Can you tell me what's been happening there?
Yeah, the weather continues to be ideal, non-threatening down in Brazil, and now Argentina is actually supposed to get some rain towards the latter part of this week. Part of southern Brazil and part of Argentina had been a little on the dry side, so that was maybe a cause for concern, but now there's rain in the forecast. So basically, with the crop at the equivalent stage of what I would say here in the U.S. is June, there are no problems. Now, you know, harvest really gets going in full swing in January, February, March. It's a big country down there, so it starts, you know, at various stages. But we're still not through the pod setting and pod filling stage. But as of today, you can't point to anything and say they've got a problem. So if you assume normal, if they get normal rainfall in January and February, they're going to have a big crop. USDA, I think, is at 169 million metric tons for Brazil. Some of the private estimates coming out are 175 million metric tons. So the fundamentals are pressuring the beans. And we've been bouncing along 975 Jan futures several times. I think four times we've bounced off of that. Couldn't bounce today. We closed yesterday below that. And technically, that was a poor sign. And so the traders here in the short run have piled on, and beans are down at least 20 cents as we speak.
Yeah, so as they pile on, sometimes that's on the tech trade, that's kind of an automated function. How much downside do you think there might be in this marketplace still?
Eventually, I mean, you know, we could see something sub $9 this fall. Now that, you know, that's a long ways away. That's still 10 months away. But, you know, depending on how many acres we plant, and if we have a normal crop and South America has a normal crop, the bean prices are still too high. Now, we've got all of the, like I say, the pod filling, pod setting stage, January and February to go through yet in Brazil. We got to see how many acres we're going to plant. You look at that soybean to corn ratio, it's at 2.07. It wasn't that long ago. It was at 2.3, 2.4. So the market is sending signals that they don't want bean acres in the U.S. next spring. They want more corn acres. So that might keep this from falling any more than what it already has. And then we've got the political side of things. You know, what will potential trade wars, tariffs, lack of tariffs do? So a lot of uncertainty. But today, There's nothing wrong with the Brazilian bean crop, and the traders are pricing it inappropriately that way.
And yesterday, it appeared to me that traders looked at what was happening, and they said, oh, the price of new crop soybeans is too high, and they managed to take that spread a little wider, and they're just following along today, too.
Yeah, I mean, November beans are $9.70. I mean, they're not that far from $10 on the board. Now, that's not $10 cash, but, you know, we've been to $10 on the futures, and we've been $10 cash, you know, but it could have went higher, but it didn't. It's gone lower. The other thing, the Brazilian real has really taken a hit. Now it takes 6.18 reals to buy a dollar. That's a 20% drop for just in this year alone. So since Brazilian farmers get paid in the U.S. dollar, that stronger U.S. dollar means that it's cushioned them. Even though beans have dropped 30% in price over the last year, the Brazilian farmers are not seeing that. They're only seeing maybe about a 10% drop in their prices. So that's why they continue to plant more beans. They're kind of shaded or shielded from the full effect of the price of the bean drop. Now, eventually their input costs for next year will go up because those are also priced in U.S. dollars. So, you know, it works both ways. But here in the short run, the Brazilian farmers are, you know, continuing to expand acreage every year.
What do you see in the corn market for the day? About 4 cents lower as you and I are talking in the...
The wheat market's unchanged. That's providing a little bit of support. I think there's still some spillover support from the last week's USDA supply and demand report where they increased exports by 100 million, increased ethanol usage by 50 million, got the carryout down from 1.97 to 1.94 to 1.74. And if you assume that maybe we'll see one bushel per acre yield drop in the January report, now all of a sudden you've got the carryout down to 1.6. So things are a little tighter in corn, good demand. So if it wasn't for the fact that beans were down 20 cents a day, I think corn might be higher along with the wheat. But I still think the corn market has a little bit more room to go up. I just don't want to get too friendly because with beans doing what they're doing, we'll probably plant more corn next year, and that'll keep a lid on how high we can go as far as corn's concerned.
Have the last couple of days panicked farmers, or are they doing okay?
Well, the good news is I think they had a fair amount of beans sold prior to the sell-off, but for the ones that didn't have very many sold, yeah, I think they're starting to get concerned because, you know, when are bean prices going to come back? Well, not until we have a weather problem in South America, more than likely, and that could be January, February, or maybe not for this growing season down there. So, yeah, the farmers are definitely concerned. Everybody's wishing they would have sold more beans at $10. We try to get people to sell beans, and some people did, but for those that are still holding on to beans, it's probably going to be a while before we get another chance to rally them again.
Maybe a long spring. We have to wait until at least, I don't know, well, the January crop production report. I don't know that that'll have anything in it that gives us lift, would it?
You know, they're saying that because of the dryness of the soybeans, they were harvested at 8, 9, 10% moisture. Maybe we could shave a half a bushel yield off of the crop, similar to the corn. You know, the corn was taken off so dry that that's kind of why they're thinking maybe we can see a bushel drop in the corn yield in January. So that might, but a half a bushel, more than offset if Brazil, you know, goes from 169 to 175, that'll more than offset a half a bushel drop here in the U.S.
Any final thought before I let you go?
I guess the good news is we'll have a little bit more government money coming. It sounds like they've attached some farm aid to the continuing resolution. It's 1,547 pages, and I haven't read it all yet, but it sounds halfway promising. It sounds like farmers may be getting another $43 an acre in corn and $27 an acre in beans, so we're probably going to need that with these kind of prices.
Indeed, that sounds like what they'll get. We'll hear that from Jonathan Kappas in just a bit. He did those numbers along with Gary Schnitke and Nick Paulson over the last couple of hours, actually, this morning, and I spoke with him a few minutes ago. Hey, thank you. We appreciate it, Greg.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. We're now joined by Jonathan Kappas, Agricultural Policy Specialist with the Farm Talk team on the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign. Thank you for taking some time with us. It's been a busy 24 hours in Washington, D.C. It appears there has been at least some agreement, not any vote yet, but some agreement on what might be coming as it's related to the Farm Bill and some disaster aid packages. Can you outline what they've done?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, not just 24 hours, but probably particularly for staff, who I have a certain level of appreciation for what they've just been ran through in the last week and a half. But certainly over the weekend and then through last night, they've been putting together what we call the continuing resolution. So the funding for the federal government runs out. The last continuing resolution back before the election runs out on Friday. And so they've been putting together the next continuing resolution. And in typical, traditional lame duck fashion after an election, it includes not just a continuing resolution, but a whole slate of things, items that needed done or that have kind of been stuck or whatnot. So what we see tucked into this continuing resolution is funding for the federal government through March, an extension of the 2018 Farm Bill for another year. So the Farm Bill won't expire. It'll extend for another year. And that includes a funding of a bunch of programs that their funding had run out. And I think the unfortunate kind of name that typically gets thrown out is the orphan programs in terms of an extension. So there's some of those that received some funding. But the really big news, obviously, in all of this is the ad hoc disaster assistance package that was also included in this bill. The total amount is about $30.8 billion, one-time set of payments. $20 billion of that is designated for natural disaster losses in 2023 and 2024, so droughts to floods to hurricanes and that sort of thing. $10 billion of that will go out for what they're calling economic assistance or economic loss assistance payments. And this will be a one-time payment that is basically calculated using a gross return estimate per acre minus an economic cost of production USDA data. And then there's a 26% factor on it. It's paid out on planted acres in 2024 or plus 50% of prevent plant. So bottom line is we're looking at probably roughly $42.94 for corn and about $28-$27 an acre for soybeans.
Are there winners and losers in this process? And is there something different about the planted acres versus other ways it could have been allocated?
Yeah, I mean, we all struggled with many farm bill discussions, we typically make these kind of direct cash payments on base acres to avoid any influence on planted acres. Now, granted, these are after the fact, so 2024 has already been planted, so it should influence. But it obviously, any time you put this amount of money into the farm economy, it's going to have a variety of impacts or consequences. And so there's always a concern that it might encourage planting of crops if they think there's more economic assistance down the road that would also be tied to planted acres.
What's next for this legislation? What happens between now and, I guess, Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I presume we're going to see a really rapid process in Congress in which they'll pass through the House, the Senate, and go to the president for signature. I think, given everything that's in here, that there's likely to be a pretty large vote in favor of it. So I cannot imagine this gets derailed between. I mean, I hate to make a guess about anything in Congress right now, but this looks like it's set up to garner a bipartisan vote. There'll be some outliers. We're particularly seeing in some news stories that some of the budget hawks, the right wing conservative budget hawks in the Republican caucus, particularly in the House, are upset about it. But you presume there's enough Democrats to offset any losses there, and that they'll get a pretty strong bipartisan vote, and this will get to the president before the government shuts down on Friday.
And does it mean we won't have a new farm bill then until, I don't know, sometime in late 2025?
I mean, at this point, what we do know is this kicks the farm bill another year. So the existing farm bill will carry through for another year. I think it's really tough to see an opportunity for the regular order process on a farm bill next year, given all that this next Congress is going to have on its plate. As we're talking about at the IFAS meetings here this year, a lot of this, what I expect to happen is budget reconciliation processes. That could consume the farm bill or consume parts of a farm bill. So it is really, really unknown what we will see in the new Congress in 2025. I think it's really hard to be optimistic that Congress can rewrite the entire farm bill next year. So we'll look at another extension if reconciliation doesn't take it over.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Always good to talk to you, Todd. Thanks.
Jonathan Kappas is an agricultural policy specialist with the FarmDoc team in the College of Agricultural Consumer and Environmental Sciences at the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner is now here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to take up the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Thank you, Drew, for taking some time with us again this Wednesday. We will not talk with you for a few weeks, so I hope you have a great holiday season, too.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I hope you get everything you always wanted.
Well, maybe not, because the crops in Brazil, you kind of want something to happen that's bad there, and apparently not yet. So let's start with Argentina, where there was a moment where there appeared to be something brewing, but that must not be the case anymore.
Yeah. You know, when you're in a situation like this, the market will look for anything that would help to support prices. And so there for a little while, it looked like Argentina was going to trend drier. And, you know, people are still touting that, you know, La Nina is coming. But the reality is the La Nina, if there is an influence from it, it's going to be really minor. And so what we are looking at here now is an opportunity to dry down over these next 10 days. There's absolutely no excessive heat coming, so it will see dry conditions with near to slightly cooler than usual temperatures. So over the 10 days, we'll definitely firm up the topsoil, but we're not going to do anything to impact the subsoil moisture, which is still adequately rated, and will stay that way all the way through the 10 days of dry weather. Some of the longer range forecast models, the ensembles, both the European and the GFS, are suggesting that there is a fair chance for rain again in weeks 3 and 4. And it's not necessarily heavy, abundant, widespread soaking rains, but it is moisture and it will, slow down the drying trend and help to replenish a little bit of moisture in the topsoil. So I think that was the last straw and kind of, you know, just reinforced what everyone was concerned and fearing about. And that was that the crop's still in pretty darn good shape. And it's still going to rain in the rest of the country. This is really only Buenos Aires and Entre Rios and Uruguay that are going to see that drying tendency.
Turn your attention from Argentina to Brazil. Crop prospects there, very, very good?
Yeah, they are. And it's very much like Argentina. There is no excessive heat. The only warmer than normal bias that seems to be in the equation for Brazil is way up in the Amazon basin and a part of the northeast corner of the country where Piauí and Bahia produce their soybean crop. The rest of the country, though, is going to see seasonable temperatures and a regular occurrence of rainfall. The only other place that might dry down besides the northeast there would be parts of western and southern Rio Grande do Sul. Now, if we had a full-blown La Nina event, I would be willing to say, oh, yeah, Rio Grande do Sul is going to end up being stressed down the road. But I don't see us going into a full-blown La Nina. This is a very normal-looking weather pattern for South America, and I see nothing coming along in the next couple of weeks that's going to bring on any dramatic change.
And then are there places around the planet that do have concerns, for instance, in East Asia or Asia somewhere?
Yeah, you know, there's actually a couple of places. One, we're starting to watch India, and we're also watching North Africa. Even China's got some dryness, but it's not going to be an issue until we get to spring. And in China, the wheat and rapeseed are all really well established. So even though they're drying down, it's not an issue. Crops are semi-dormant at the moment. Plenty of time for better rains to come. And most of the dryness in China is really in southern rice areas. And they'll have a pretty good chance for rain in January or February. India, however, is kind of an interesting story. I don't know if you recall or not, but back in October, it was extremely hot. I think it was the hottest October on record, if I recall. And that interrupted or delayed the onset of planting. And for those planting of winter crops, we're talking about wheat and rapeseed and sorghum and pulse crops. And all of that delay was rather extended. And when we look at the vegetative health indices right now, we notice that the crop growth in India is way behind where it ought to be. And we're a few weeks away from starting reproduction for some of these winter crops. So that puts a lot of pressure on January for demonstrating improvement. And we can only get that if it rains. If it stays dry, these crops are still not going to be in very good shape. So there could be kind of some interesting something or other coming out of there if we continue dry in January. Our official forecast is for below normal precipitation through the reproductive season this year. The easternmost parts of the production area, mostly wheat areas, will probably do best with moisture, but certainly rapeseed areas and mustard and some of the pulse crops are probably going to see some of the drier biased conditions and will have some pressure downward on the potential yield.
Next week, Santa will visit children across the planet. Will he have snow in the Midwest?
That's going to be a hard one to get to. We may have some snow before we get to the Christmas holiday, but during the Christmas holiday itself, it's going to be unusually warm, so we will probably be melting any snow that is around. We do have a couple little systems that will come around between now and the first part of next week that will produce snow in the northern plains, the upper Midwest, maybe the Great Lakes region, but nowhere else except in the northeast part of the U.S. and, of course, the mountains. And like I said, the temperatures are going to get way above normal during the Christmas holiday, and that's just going to melt snow. So unfortunately, there's probably less than 15% of the Midwest that would even have a chance for a white Christmas.
Santa will make his drops regardless of snow or not. I am quite confident of that. Thank you much. We'll talk with you after the holiday season, Drew.
You betcha. Take care now.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.